Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Very happy to be able to give this particular class this morning. Actually, when I was preparing my things to take for the tour, while I was still near Berlin in the Gora Bhavan, I felt deep in my heart, let me prepare for one class that will go down in the history of mankind. Because in this class, I thought I would give answers to the question which is in many times in our minds, is although Krishna consciousness is described to be such a blissful process, why am I sometimes suffering? I have to go to the dentist and I have to struggle in the lockdown times, and I'm sometimes bewildered, sometimes I'm actually not in good consciousness. Why, if this is described to be the Ananda Kanda, a pot of bliss, this is the description of Krishna consciousness, why is it for me a pot of mixed pleasures and pains? So I'm trying to give the answer today to this question. And it will be a little philosophical in the beginning, so all of you who are still tired like me, have to sometimes pinch ourselves to stay awake, but then it will become embarrassingly practical. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We are reading this morning from the 10th canto, chapter 14, text 8.
Tate nukampang susamikshamano.
Tate nukampam susamikshamano.
Bunjana evat makritam vipakam.
Bunjana evat makritam vipakam.
Ritvagvapurbhir vidadan namaste. Jivetayo muktipade sadayaba.
Jivetayo muktipade sadayaba.
Tate nukampam susamikshamano.
Tate nukampam susamikshamano.
Bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Ritvagvapurbhir vidadan namaste.
Ritvagvapurbhir vidadan namaste.
Jivetayo muktipade sadayaba.
Jivetayo.
Yes, please. Maybe one Mataji. Manoha, it's so rare that we see each other. Please give us the pleasure of your direct darshan. No, darshan is maybe not the word, but we have good places here. So, Tat. Therefore, te your anukampam compassion susamikshamana earnestly hoping for bunjanaha enduring eva certainly Atmakritam, done by himself, Vipakam, the fruitive results, Rit, with his heart, Vak, words, Vapurbihi, and body, Vidadhan, offering namaha obeisances te unto you jiveta lives nyaha anyone who muktipade to the position of liberation saha he Daya Bhag, the rightful heir. So. The translation and the purport I will not take from this 10th canto, but from the Nectar of Devotion. It's a very interesting. This verse is taken into the Nectar of Devotion and then explained in a really beautiful way by Srila Prabhupada. It comes under the category expecting the Lord's mercy. So here it is for you. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8, it is said, My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds. Offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart is surely eligible to become liberated, for this has become his rightful claim. And now Srila Prabhupada's purport. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. Did you hear that? The guide. Guide. When you don't know how to move, you need a guide which brings you to the place where you want to go. Without a guide, you might get lost, but with a guide, you will find your destination. So this is the guide of all devotees. What is it exactly? The Prabhupada will now explain. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. So as long as you are in the world, there will be some karma. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activity, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not yet perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. The two devotees, one is the devotee who has reached perfection. He is closing the door to his material existence. He goes back to Godhead in the very near future. And there is someone who has not yet reached perfection, but who is practicing or giving his best. This devotee is described here. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. No problem. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, he is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse is dayabhag. A very interesting word. Dayabhag refers to a son becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Himate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesha Shunyavari Askajare Sadarine
Sri Krishna Chaitanya, O Prabhu Nityananda, Advaita Gadara, Vasadi Govardhana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada describes this verse to be a solace. Solace is when you are very sad and you don't really see a way out of your situation. Then a solace is something that calms you down and that gives you hope again. What again does it say? It says, it speaks of the devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness, but has not yet reached perfection. And such a devotee will sometimes suffer the reactions which come because in the past he has acted sinfully. Now, what is the recommendation to such a devotee who sometimes feels miserable, but misunderstood, maybe physically, also there is some illness, or he's just under the clouds very often? Well, he should go on. This is the recommendation. By offering a respectful obeisance to the Lord with his heart, words and body. And such a devotee should be happy, because now, if he, as long as he continues to do this, he becomes an inheritor of Krishna's mercy. It will come to him. So this is what the verse says. I think you can find yourself in this situation. You sometimes also go through these dark days, these days of insecurity, even sometimes doubt, is this the right place for me? We do know it is not always so easy to be fully enthusiastic. We, in fact, are often just struggling. No, but the verse is almost like in Serbian language you say "sveci biti redu." This means everything will be all right after some time. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's almost like as if Brahma puts his hand on our shoulder and gives us a few slaps and says, just don't let your head hang down so much. Just sit straight. There's hope for you. Don't worry, don't worry. It will be okay. Yes, I was going, when I prepared for this lecture, through the commentaries of Sridhar Swami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and obviously this purport of Srila Prabhupada. And what I found out, my dear devotees, and that's why I'm so enthusiastic, is that this verse describes the mindset, how you should perform your Krishna conscious activities. I will now speak to a section of the football fans here in my lecture. When there is an important game, the trainer will try to speak to the footballers that as soon you will enter the stadium like a gladiator, It will be a fight with the opposite party. And you need to be in this mindset. And then he says, we can do it. We have very good defense. We have a good goalkeeper. Today, I think Fortuna is smiling on us. And he will give them a mindset, knowing that if they are in the right mindset, they are enthusiastic. They will run very swiftly, left and right, according to the need. And they will be hopeful. And he knows if they are hopeful, there is a good chance that they are victorious. But if they enter the lawn, the grass, the green grass, or the field, football field, with a feeling that, oh no, this opponent is much stronger than us. He has better chances to win. He has much better players, and he is hungry like a wolf for success. And he will do it. And if there is some depression or some doubt, then this will spread, and then it's sure that the team will not win. So in the same way, a devotee must be in the right mindset. Otherwise, he will not be successful in his journey of Krishna consciousness. And it is this verse which gives the devotee this mindset. It gives them the encouragement which is necessary for them to, in the end, become victorious in their attempt to become Krishna consciousness. It's particularly meant for devotees who have decided in their life, okay, Krishna consciousness is my path. I won't take shelter in any other path. This is all I would do. And he exclusively performs bhakti and in the end obtains Krishna. So then what should he think? The first point is, he must know how to deal with difficult situations which are coming into his life for sure. I've seen many, many, many devotees who, in Krishna consciousness, who when misery or difficult situations came to them, they could not really proceed. I've seen in Germany, for instance, there was a very difficult situation. One leading devotee we still don't really understand what happened to him, but for sure it was a physical thing also. His brain just had a severe attack, and so on. So many devotees were the disciples of this wonderful leader at that time. And when their spiritual master went through this extremely difficult period for him and ultimately left his responsibilities, they were grief-stricken and left Krishna consciousness. I've seen also married people in Krishna consciousness where one of the partner suddenly decides to divorce. One morning he comes to his partner and says, "We need to speak." And then the man may ask his wife, "About what?" This wife said, "About us. It's over." It can be so distressful, so disturbing, that there's so much pain in the heart that the devotee, either man or woman, just do not find the enthusiasm to go on in their heart. There are many sufferings which are bound to come, physical, mental, by other living entities, by the Belgium weather. It's supposed to be summer here, and I thought I would get brown like Manu, but I'm severely suffering because it seems there is only a small chance that this will happen. I'm talking a little to take everyone on board. I will soon become extremely philosophical, but first you all have to be with me here. So, how should we deal with such suffering? The Sridhar Swami and Sanatana Goswami say these things which happen are because of activities you did in the past. The Sanskrit word is atma. Atma means your own self. Kritam means what you did. And now the resultant actions, the results of it, the reactions, if you so want, have become mature. And if you like or not, they will now come upon you. You can see it in two ways. You can become overwhelmed, or you can say, okay, let me tolerate it. Then it's over. Then I'm done with it, and I can, this obstacle is gone. The two acharyas say these results must be experienced. Or as Prabhupada says in his purport, no conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. No? So it may happen to you that you come running down the stairs to be in time here for the Artik, and you slip with your socks on the marble stairs, and you land in such an unfortunate way on the stairs that you might even break a leg or a hand as you try to catch yourself. And that time, don't think, oh, why did this happen? I was on the way to Radha Gopinath. Why? The reason is, it didn't happen because you were on the way to Radha Gopinath. It happened because some old karma has now been experienced, and you have now become relieved from it. So this is what this is an explanation. But there are also good reactions coming. Health, you might find yourself in Radhadesh, and wow, you start a wonderful project, everything goes really well. Or you may be a mataji who is feeling I'm not properly situated. I feel I might need to marry, but no one is coming. And all of a sudden, when the fruits of your karma are ripe, then you find the ideal person who is very much able to help you in your spiritual life, and who's willing to enter a serious relationship. So good things happen, and bad things happen also due to the karmic laws which describe this material existence. Now, while you should not be so attached about the good and bad things which are happening, they are happening due to a mechanism of material nature. a devotee becomes is highly attached to his shelter in this karmic traffic which he experiences in his life. He is very attached to the acts of bhakti, and this is described here. While he is patiently suffering or enjoying the reactions of his past deeds, he says, this is going to happen. But he places his attachment into something. He says, I'm very attached now to do my devotional activities, which is described here, offering respectful obeisances with the heart, the words, and the body. Huh? He's very attached to this. For me, as a devotee who, I mean, I'm not such a great devotee, for someone who's very enthusiastic about the path of Krishna consciousness, and in particular kirtan, offering obeisances with heart, words, and body is for me an indication for kirtan. With the body, you sing and you pronounce the mantra, you hear, and then with your voice, the mantra is coming out, and with your heart, you're offering prayers to Krishna, please accept me, and so on and so forth. So while this devotee is not so attached to and not so concerned, this may be a proper way, about his happiness and distress which comes due to previous activities, he knows, wow, I have now a chance in this human form of life to go with my to become completely absorbed in devotional service with body, voice, and heart. Jiva Goswami says an example of someone who engages body, mind, words and heart is found in the fifth verse of this chapter. Would you like to know this example?
Yes.
Why? Maybe to follow? Or, yes, it says here, Brahma speaks about great personalities in the past who had attained the platform of devotional service. And what did they do? These great souls? Well, they offered their endeavors for you, and they faithfully carried out their prescribed duties, and then they did activities like hearing and chanting about you, and in this way they came to understand you, and they could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. It's quite a verse. I will not explain it here for long. You can, if you are interested, find it and read it in your own reading time. No. So someone who acts like this, who on the one hand tolerates and on the other hand becomes very involved in devotional service, something happens to him. He, listen to this, only has to wait, and then he gets the greatest result imaginable. He becomes freed from material existence and goes back to home, back to Godhead, where he attains the lotus feet of the Lord. And an example is given. A son has to only wait until the inheritance of his father comes. I know no one likes to think like this. I'm just waiting until the old man is dead, you know, and then I get something. That's not what is expressed here, this cruel and heartless way, you know, where we think like vultures about our parents. When will they stumble and fall down, and then I can eat? That is ethically very wrong. But here a principle is given. Someone just has to stay alive, and then something wonderful comes to him. So in the same way, a devotee has to just stay alive in bhakti. And if he stays alive in bhakti, then these results will come. In the 10th canto, it is said that only bhakti, only when you are bhakta are you alive. Shukadev Goswami says, only if they become your faithful followers are those who breathe actually alive. Otherwise, the breathing is like that of the bellows. Bellows is these things in the where the blacksmith is, you know. A lot of yoga is done today about pranayama. Lots of programs are offered. But if you don't also follow Krishna, then this breathing is dead breathing. So with staying alive, it's not meant that you just breathe and continue to breathe. No, it means that you are practicing bhakti with your body, your heart, and your voice. That's very good. Now, Jiva Goswami makes an interesting little comment on this. Is it that easy? We just have to stay alive and then we get mukti padde. We get freedom from material existence at the lotus feet of Krishna. He says, well, yes, you need to stay alive, but you need to be really careful that you don't develop harshness and bad traits. Because imagine you are with your brothers and you are alive, and there's an inheritance coming one day, but you are quarreling with the brothers all the time, you are harsh with them. The brothers will say, you just go from our family, you are not a member of the family, and they kick you out. This is happening a lot to those who quarrel while they are in the process of Krishna consciousness. I just come from Quarreloka, one country. The name is withheld here because they are very wonderful results. But in the past, Quarreloka. And I can see, I have seen many times, those who are harsh with devotees and have these bad traits and don't make an effort to slowly correct themselves and overcome their mistakes, they are defeated on the path of bhakti. They do not make this inheritance. It's withheld from them. And then they suffer very much from this. It is very sad how much suffering comes because of this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about this point. He says, when one offends devotees, but one thinks, I chant and I take my bath in the Ganga, I will personally take care that by his chanting he's punished, and by his bath in the Ganga he suffers. Wow! Lord Chaitanya is God and he turns everything around. That's in his power, because he will not tolerate harshness and offense and offensive mentality. But if you stay alive and avoid that, that's easy to avoid. You just need to stay on the path of bhakti, and as a result, this amazing gift. Krishna will one day throw his lotus feet into your lap. I have personally experience of such a situation in relation to Prabhupada. I always wanted to touch his lotus feet, but I thought it's not possible. So one day I was called to give him a massage, whole body massage, and I speculated. I thought he will not give me his lotus feet, because then my sinful reactions will go to him. I'm sure I will massage all parts of the body except for his lotus feet, and I became all mental about it. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada must have seen my mind, you know. It's easy for him to read the mind of devotees, because it's so obvious what they want. and he just somehow, he was lit, sitting with legs crossed. He just took his right or left foot, I do not remember which one, because I was so happy, and he just somehow threw it into my lap, where I was then able to not only touch but massage his lotus feet. So I just needed to wait, and then it came. So in the same way, a devotee needs to wait. We in Germany we have one mantra which we say to devotees who are going through this scenario where they suffer some reactions and they feel physically or mentally a little disturbed. We just say this mantra, einfach weitermachen. I think in English this translates into just continue. And in French it's most probably continuer. Most probably, I found it at the end. You just make a little loop, and then it's French language. Just continue with your and serve. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you can always expect a surprise from him. He makes something. He makes a point. He says, we have all heard that for a devotee there is no karma. Why is Brahma saying one should patiently suffer the results of his karma? Huh? Do you follow Vishwanath Chakravarti? Yeah? So he makes the point, in a case of a devotee who has surrendered, by the way, not all Hare Krishnas have surrendered. They sometimes think about it, but it is sometimes more or less there. Sometimes it's less there. Sometimes more. But in the case of a devotee who has surrendered, all the results of his own deeds have been taken care of. That's also stated in the Brahma Sanghita. Kamani kintu, kamani kintu, something sa bhakti bhajam. No, by bhakti, the past sinful reactions have been taken away. For a bhakta, still such a bhakta will sometimes suffer, but the reason for his suffering is that he has committed aparadhas or offenses. And sometimes he will be very happy, and the reason for his happiness is not his karma. It is because he has done activities in bhakti, and now he feels a great joy. You have seen this joy, for instance, in kirtan. Sometimes during the Radha Deshmelos, we are chanting for more time, extra time, and all of a sudden you can watch the devotees. They become so happy. Their smile although the weather is terrible, no problem. They smile, they even dance and jump in almost athletic ways. I know Shyamananda, when he gets into it, wow! Then I think Lord Shiva is watching and learning some new dance steps because of the joy of bhakti. No, there's this film is there, the joy of devotion. That comes, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And sometimes there is also distress, and that is due to this other factor. I'm not speaking here about Syamananda, I'm speaking about our experience, general experience. So, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's gloss on it, and he says, both are the mercy of the Lord, because it's given by the Lord. And he makes this point also for a devotee who is not yet fully surrendered, and his suffering and enjoyment come from karma. He should understand both is the mercy of, equally the mercy of the Lord. You might ask, what? How is this? Listen carefully. When a devotee suffers a little, he will get an important lesson. And I believe all of us will agree here. Through these sufferings, we understand, well, material life is not worthwhile to live. I've heard this many times when devotees have, for instance, physical suffering. They tell me, oh Maharaj, this body is, I thought I could enjoy, but now I know it's not possible. I'm feeling this, oh, so much. My knee is really... And my arm feels like a tennis arm, you know, I really understand now. I didn't understand fully because I was young and foolish, but now I do understand. So in this way, the last traces means this very small remnants of the desire to enjoy this world are burned away through the burning of the suffering. When there is no way of disinfecting a wound, hot iron needs to be taken. And it's a little bit painful. Not a little bit. It is painful. Better have some yod ready, you know, some other or dragon blood is good infection. This is from a plant, it's not from a dragon, you know. But if that isn't for this enjoying spirit of the conditioned soul, there is really no other medicine than the hot iron treatment, the painful treatment. And this is burned out, and then the devotee knows, oh God, I got it. No need to give another lesson like this. I think I'm pretty clear about this now. And he... will not continue to enjoy the world and in this way get more and more and get entangled again by creating again reactions to his activities. Yes, so both is the mercy of the Lord. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's comparable to the activities of a father who sometimes gives the father gives his child sweet milk and at other times bitter neem juice. No? Both, you know, when the child is meant to enjoy, he gives sweet milk, but when there is an illness in the child, he will give this very good blood purifier. This is bitter neem juice. He will give this. So in the same way, Krishna gives both for his beginning devotees who are not yet perfected, as well as for the devotees who are fully surrendered. He gives this suffering and joy to help them. For the new person, beginner person, who is a little stubborn, attached, he will give it through the laws of karma. His own reactions take fruit. And for the surrendered soul, he will give happiness as a result of his activities in bhakti, and the suffering as a result of his aparadas. If you ask, well, how is it with me, Maharaj? Is it my karma, or is it the second case which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes? I have heard devotees who are very philosophically minded comment on death of devotees, and I will not give names, because when we hear about a death of a devotee, we are emotionally very concerned, and we are not willing to take that or approach that in a philosophical way. But I have heard devotees talk that there might have been a trace of some remnant of karma. They say this, and that they quickly go to another point, because who wants to say to a devotee, you suffer because of your karma, you did this in the past? No. Prabhupada makes, I think Prabhupada's point is here the safest. He says, a devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. He puts it there into the karma section. No conditioned soul, no conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. Yes. But this is not the point of the verse. What is it? Is it karma, or is it, from where does it come? The point is, whatever it is, do your bhakti and you will stay alive on the path of bhakti, and you will for sure go back to Godhead and get his lotus feet. This was the philosophical point. Now comes the existential point. A little drilling is required now. My dear devotees, I will make now a statement, and I will ask you if you agree with me. Here comes the statement. Listen to it and think about it. My statement is based on my experience. We often learn the most from our most difficult experiences. I will repeat this again for those who were in dreamland. Pujari Mahashai. Hare Krishna. So here comes a statement for your intelligence to reflect about. We often learn the most from our difficult experiences. From our most difficult experiences. Who agrees with me? I agree with me. Who disagrees with me? No problem. I will not attack you. Yeah, I know. How do we, when everyone agrees, then we don't. Think about it. When you have a difficult experience, don't focus on the negative side. see them as great teachers. When you think, oh no, my body is now paining, I can't do this and that, that means focusing on the negative side. Or someone insults you and you think, oh no, this is very unfair and unjust, and he is good on internet, and vroom, all of a sudden it's on internet. This is a very negative part. But there could be also the part where you see it as a teaching, a great teacher. I think these difficult experiences are also teachers with a stick in their hand, very heavy teachers. They shape our character. And if you stay on the positive side and do not get into lamentation and helplessness, then you will see, what do I do now? And it helps that your talents come alive. We realize more who we are and what talents are still lying inside that we may not have used at this time enough. In this way, the stumbling blocks, you understand this word, stumbling blocks, they are on the way and you run and you fall. What was that? It was not a speed breaker, that was a leg breaker. You know, the stumbling blocks become your stepping stones. And the wounds which you have received become the sources of a mature wisdom in your life. No? This is not bad. Bad is not bad in the material world, all bad. It is mixed, it's dual. And you can choose, will I go only to the negative side and lament, or will I see them as teacher and finally learn my lesson? Okay. Hare Krishna. Who of you likes poesy? I also. I know for some it's boring, but you can just prepare. I will read a poem now to you. Have patience with what remains unsolved in your heart. You may not know an answer to a question or to a problem. Try to love the questions themselves. Why? What do I need to learn? These unresolved things are like locked rooms. One day you will find the key for them. Oh, very nice poetry. It's translated into English. It comes from German. Rainer Maria Rilke. In Bhakti, we don't need to figure everything out and have an answer to everything. It's also not possible. Be patient. One day, maybe after 2 years, you understand. Now I understand. Krishna gives you an answer when you can understand, when you are ready for it. And sometimes at a certain stage, you may not yet be ready. Good. So, Hare Krishna, I'm ending here my lecture. Any questions? Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was thinking on the practical application of this verse. Very often when difficulty comes, it seems to be very difficult to take the responsibility for ourselves and think, okay, yeah, it's the karma, I did either offenses, or that is from the past. Usually the first reaction is to blame others, or to feel bad toward others, or to... In those moments where also emotions are there, how we reach the philosophical understanding to a practical application?
Mm. as you said, when emotions are involved, we tend to react. We feel hurt. We feel distressed. And we are, in a way, almost helpless. So you need to, first of all, calm down. Therefore, patience is required on this path. You need to calm down. Don't react immediately. Give it a little time until you have the ability to access the wiser, the more wise part in your personality. Otherwise, if you just react and blame others, you might increase the difficulty by getting entangled in fighting, so on. So patience at that time is required. And in my understanding, you need to also take shelter in Krishna, his lotus feet at that time, because you know ultimately it is coming from this address, you know, to teach you something. That's the understanding of a bhakta, that everything which happens to him is willed and arranged by the Lord. But that understanding only works when you are in the place of devotion, of bhakti. Otherwise, it's impossible to see. I remember when something happened to me, at that time I felt overwhelmed. Like you know, when you are bathing in an ocean with high wave, and a high wave comes, plong, throws you down. Have you ever been like this? In Northern Sea you can see it, in Australia you can see it. So sometimes the circumstances and the material world are like a big wave, and it overwhelms you. So at that time you need to have a little patience. You're now lying on the ground, and you know, speaking practically, you are now a little bit finished. Have some patience, get yourself together, and mostly go to Krishna and pray to him. Please help me. It is very difficult for me at the moment. Please give me a clear consciousness. Help me that my consciousness is clear. Hare Krishna. Yes, this will be the last question for today.
Tomorrow, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's another question that by chance yesterday I put on some YouTube video, and it was about Bernadette from Subaru, and she had some visions of Mother Mary.
Yes.
Child, maybe you know.
Yes.
Oh. And then I think the last visit, Mother Mary said to this Bernadette, I cannot promise you happiness in this life. And I cannot promise you, but I can promise you for your next life that you will be very happy and successful. Mm-hmm. And so later she went to a monastery, and she developed some cancer disease on the blood, I think.
Yes.
And she suffered very, very much. And she died suffering way, but still in a very blissful, happy way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's heart-touching. This Bernadette was really suffering. I mean, really suffering. And there were no real painkillers at that time. And it was really, really, really heavy. Yeah.
More or less like what is in this verse.
Yeah.
Tolerate.
But her consciousness remained protected somehow or other. I have seen that also. We have cases in our movement. Let us think of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. You know, the foot was needed to be amputated, and still the cancer was not out of his body, and he eventually succumbed to it. And in his case also, he was very blissful. I heard from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, very blissful, and not like, oh, I have to give now a good performance, so to say, because devotees look to me. No, Krishna protects his consciousness. Many times devotees say this when Krishna says in the Gita, I carry to my devotees what they need, and I maintain what they have. This doesn't always mean material well-being or material things, but he maintains the consciousness. But I can imagine that also devotees, I do know, in fact, of devotees who died, who went through a period of severe doubts. They could not feel happy in bhakti. I think it is some hormone thing, you know, or so. But in the end, the doubts got clarified. I have also heard. Prabhuji's, you can't figure everything out. You can't figure everything out. We like to have a very... but Krishna is not coming into our small... boxes of logic. Yes, much bigger than this. But mostly I have also seen that Krishna protects the consciousness of his devotees. Yeah. Good. I'm sorry, there may be more questions, but time... Premanidhi, you allow me to stop. Good. Time. I'm already over time. Maybe I'm not invited when I'm too much over time. I'm joking. These are very serious subject matters. You might like to take up the reading of this. I was reading Prabhupada's purport. I'm sorry, I did not really explain much. I took the points from the purport, but it's a beautiful reading. You can find it in the English Nectar of Devotion. As far as I remember, it's page 91, but I'm not so good in numbers. The chapter is, the heading is Expecting the Lord's Mercy. It's around 90, most probably 91. It's really an interesting reading matter. I wish you a wonderful day and devotional service. May you all experience the joy of bhakti, of devotion. See you again soon. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.